Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a vision for you big book study. My name is Melanie C. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Friday, June 15th, 2018, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting of A Vision for You. Today we are reading from the big book and we're in the chapter Into Action, which is chapter 6. We're reading from page 73 today. We're going to read through two paragraphs, starting with paragraph 1, more than most people, and then end at the bottom of the second paragraph, that makes for more drinking. Today's readers are the 12 steps, Nan K, the 12 traditions, Leslie M, and reading the text and support today is Kathy Jo P, Penny LC, and Chrissy G. The share ID numbers for yesterday's 10 a.m. meeting, that would be Thursday, June 14th, 2018, 11536, 11,536. And then this morning we had a meeting too, and that's recorded. That would be for Friday, June 15th, 2018, 7 a.m. meeting, just a couple of hours ago, 11543, 11,543. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Nan K. to please read the 12 steps.
Hi, I'm Nan, and I'm a compulsive overeater. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except one to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Pass.
Thank you, Nan K. I will now ask Leslie M. to please read the 12 traditions.
Good morning, Melanie C. Thank you so much for your service. Excuse me. This is Leslie M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. The 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is a spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to do service, and I pass.
Thank you, Leslie M. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book in Chapter 6, Into Action. We're reading on page 73, reading through two paragraphs today, starting with paragraph 1, More Than Most People, and then that ends at the bottom of the second paragraph, That Makes for More Drinking. And I will ask Kathy Jo P. to open up this discussion today by reading those two paragraphs. Good morning, Kathy Jo.
Good morning. This is Kathy Jo P., a recovered compulsive overeater. Today I'm in San Diego, and I live in Minneapolis, Minnesota. More than most people, the alcoholic leads a double life. He is very much the actor. To the outer world, he presents his stage character. This is the one he likes his fellows to see. He wants to enjoy a certain reputation, but knows in his heart he doesn't deserve it. The inconsistency is made worse by the things he does on his sprees. Coming to his senses, he is revolted at certain episodes he vaguely remembers. These memories are a nightmare. He trembles to think someone might have observed him. As fast as he can, he pushes these memories far inside himself. He hopes they will never see the light of day. He is under constant fear and tension that makes for more drinking. So, I'm in a house in San Diego with 13 people sleeping. Literally, it's a place where at 2 in the morning I went to the bathroom the other night and someone took my pillow. We've got a whole bunch of kids and my two sisters. And boy, today, I would love to present that I have completely changed and I have a certain reputation with all of you. And one thing I'm grateful for is the people that have gone before me that have several years in this process, and for me, I have almost 2, and tell me that I'm a baby. Love that, because I see them and I see them changed with their outstretched arms, knowing that God will remove all of my character defects. and so much has changed for me. I'm thinking as I'm talking today, a few weeks ago, I was supposed to read on the line, and I overslept. I literally hadn't slept that late, you know, like in, I don't even know how long, but I slept till 9-something. And when I woke up, I started to text both Melanie and Leah, and I wanted to lie and make up a story. I started to type up my lie, but I can't lie anymore. And so I erased it, and then I corrected it with maybe even a milder lie. But I can't do that. I'm living differently now, like it says here. And finally, I just wrote, I overslept. And one of them wrote back, welcome to the human race. And, you know, I was so explosive before I came into these rooms 2 years ago. I barely could hide anything. I made rampages and hurricane destructions everywhere I went. That doesn't happen like that anymore. And I can tell you there is no tears and everyone standing there in horror after I misbehaved. Yes, there might be a couple remarks, but there's no huge bombs with nuclear destruction like I was doing before. And I really believe God is going to change all so that I have asked Melanie, will I ever learn to restrain my tongue and pen? And I have been told I will. And the times that I do, I completely celebrate. And I also want to say, here above this paragraph, it talked about our ego and our fear being removed. And that's what I'm hoping for. I want to be human. I want to be human so God and you all can help me be at peace and learn to be of service and live in the beauty and the sunlight of this program. So I'm going to keep trudging with you. And today I claim I'm a baby in these rooms, and I'm so excited to keep growing, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Kathy Jo P. Okay, chapter 6, page 73 in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, paragraph 1 and paragraph 2. We can comment with our experience on both of those paragraphs. Who would like to add their experience, strength, and hope?
Sylvia.
Leah G.
I have Sylvia. I have Gina R. I have Leah.
Kristen R.
Kristen R.
Penny L. C.
Penny L. C.
Leah F. Jerry K. B.
Jerry, could you stop there, please?
Richard B.
I'm going to have you for the next lineup, okay? I'm going to go with this seven today. Sylvia, Gina, Liad, Kristen, Penny Elsie, Leah, S, and Sherry KB. Hi, Sylvia. Good morning.
Good morning, Melanie. This is Sylvia F., recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado today. And so happy to be on the line with all of you. I've been traveling for 2 weeks and not much cell service and still having to work my program. This line, I was living in Mexico at the time, and it was early into my recovery, and I was going to AA meetings, and I had a lot of old-time AA people in the rooms, and these people had been hard lives and strong recovery, and I'd been going to meetings, and I had been sharing some, and one day, I was walking into the meeting, and this old-timer says, "How are you doing?" And I said, "Great." And he looked at me, he goes, "You know, we alcoholics live a double life." And I was like, "Oh my God, what does he mean?" And I had to go back to the book and read that paragraph. And that paragraph describes me completely. I did not want anyone to see what I thought of me and what I had done and the shame I had carried. And so I was going to dress it up, pretty it up, lie about it. And what I've learned now is that that as long as I keep that to myself, I cannot be recovered, because I will live in shame and I will live in fear and remorse, and that is not who God would have me be. So as painful as it is to have to tell the truth, last night I went to a meeting. I was so lucky. I found a meeting here, and some visionaries were there and some great people, and I got to tell my truth about how hard it is to take this trip and to be disconnected, literally from the phone and I don't have to be disconnected from a recovery in God. But it's tough. This is tough stuff. But that's what I've been preparing to do, apparently. And with that, so happy to be on the line live this morning, and I will pass.
Thank you, Sylvia F. Gina R., you'll be next, and then Leah TD will come after you. Good morning.
Good morning, Mel, and good morning, everybody. This is Gina R., gratefully recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body and a compulsive eater, living in Green Valley, Arizona. And I can echo what Sylvia just said, coming off being on the road for a week and very spotty self-coverage. But it was just a beautiful reminder for me of the life that I didn't even know was an option for me. So when it talks about leading a double life, basically the life I was living before recovery was just covering up the life that my Creator intended for me to have from the very, very beginning. And so I don't have to go outside looking for who I am. This simply is a process of submitting myself to a program, people, and my higher power, where the things that are keeping that particular person covered up gets uncovered, and I get relief. The main duality or the inconsistency that I lived was thinking I had to be an overachiever. I suffered from the part in the book that we'll end up talking about, you know, having basically a superiority complex. I couldn't understand why people couldn't just get things done, you know, just do it, you know, put yourself to the test and just get it done. And in a lot of areas of my life, that worked. And so I got reinforcement that I could figure things out. I could come up with solutions. And I'm not saying that I wasn't successful. I was in many areas, but I was creating a wave of damage and harm to people, places, and things that, you know, I've ended up, for the most part, cleaning up, and now I just do it on a daily basis. But that was the double life that the food helped me manage. If I didn't want to feel that I wasn't superior or that somebody had something on me or I was aging out or I, you know, couldn't do something that someone else could do, I would just eat over it. I don't have to do that today. The stuff that used to eat me that I ate over, I'm able to truly give that to my higher power. And now the life I live is the life that I was intended to have from the very beginning, which is an authentic life. I get to recognize and experience a full range of emotion, feelings, and thoughts. And I am responsible. I'm powerless over many things, but I'm not helpless. I'm not helpless to choose what I do with those thoughts and how I behave now. And I'm very grateful for that. I'm grateful for all of you. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Gina R. Leah TD, you're next, and then Kristen will come after you.
Yes, good morning, everybody. Good morning. Thank you, Melanie. Good morning, beautiful family. Oh, gosh. And my heart and blessing to the people out in the road. I know how hard it is. I was a month in Israel, and it was really took me off balance. But thank God for the program and God, you know, and the direction that I was given to be able to continue on and be in, and have God everywhere where I go. I love that. You know, I was reading this morning in my worship time about, you know, being stuck with me, you know, and this whole thing about the actor, you know, I developed ways, like awkward, warped ways of how to be. I never really, you know, I was stuck with me, and what came up is the actor. Someone who tries to please others, manipulating to get what I want. Just, you know, and in that book, it was talking about being stuck with me. You know, I am stuck with me because I am a one person. And you would think that the first thing that people will teach you as a human being is how to be a friend of yours, how to be a friend of me. That the first thing that I learned is how to please others, how to be a good girl, you know, how not to, you know, make too much noise, not ask too much. And so that's, you know, and this guy was talking, he gave this definition for sobriety, and sobriety is learning to be comfortable, comfortably, peacefully, and joyfully with me, living comfortably, peacefully, joyfully with me. And that's what it is, you know. I need to be a friend of me. I need to develop friendship with me, you know, and I need to live comfortably inside of me. And, you know, and it is a process of elimination. I have to abandon that actor to become whole inside of me. And this program has, you know, the solution to being rid of. So I can have that comfort, peaceful, and joyous feeling within me to be my own friend. And it may sound selfish, or, you know, I don't know to some people, but when I am at peace and comfort, and when I am my own friend and I am joyous, I'm able to be a lot more giving and kind and truly serving others without any agenda. It's not an actor. It's the real authentic woman of God that God wants me to be. I love you and all my past.
Thank you very much, Liat TD. And now it is Kristen R's turn. And then Penny LC, you'll come in behind Kristen.
Oh, thank you, Melanie. Thank you for your service. Good morning, everyone. My name is Kristen R. In Virginia, I am a compulsive eater. And these paragraphs this morning are just spot on for me. So when I read through this, immediately I see double life. Yep, my whole life has been a double life. In private, in truth, I have been, you know, a depressed person longing for connection, but my stage character has been quite different. And my stage character today is perfect mother. I am supposed to be the perfect mother as my kids embark on their summer vacation of 2 months at home with me. And the perfect mother is thrilled to spend time with her children. The perfect mother loves her children no matter what they do and loves being with them at every moment of the day. So this stage character is actually killing me right now, because the truth is I know I don't deserve the title of perfect mother, and my diseased thinking is thrilled about that, because my disease is just waiting for me. So what are the sprees that I go on, right? What are the sprees? Okay, here are the sprees. The mother at the red light screaming at her kids. The mother who hasn't taken care of herself all day and ends up screaming at her kids. The mother who takes her laptop computer and slams it down on the floor and smashes it into a million pieces because she's hungry, angry, lonely, tired. Those are my sprees, and that's how I harmed my kids. And you know what? The truth is, I'm still vulnerable to do that today, and I need this program. I need this program to keep me out of that disease thinking and to keep me out of these sprees. So how do I do it? I do it by every morning waking up and practicing steps 1-3. And if I'm doing that, then I'm being honest about how I feel. Then I'm writing out a 4-step, and I'm calling someone with my 4-step, and I'm telling them, I'm turning it over, step 5. And then 6 and 7, I am humbling myself before my Creator and telling God that I cannot get rid of this defective character. And what's the defective character? My belief that I am a terrible person, that I am the worst person in the world because I feel these things. And my 7-step prayer is asking God to remove this belief that I am a terrible person. Because if I continue on in that belief, I'm going to cycle back and have another spree. I'm just going to keep having those sprees over and over again. But here's the truth. I can't get rid of that belief that I'm a terrible person any more than I can get rid of my own skin. I need God to do it. Believe me, I have tried to get rid of these beliefs. It doesn't work. But there are millions of alcoholics and compulsive eaters who have gone ahead of me and shown me that if I surrender and I give this belief over to God and I tell God that I can't control my emotions or any of my compulsions anymore and I need God to take over, thank you, I'll wrap up, that I will be helped. So I just get on my knees, do my 7-step, make my amends, and then go help somebody else. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Kristen R. Hi, Penny LC, you're next, and then Leah will come after you.
Thank you, Melanie, and thank you for your service. Good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny LC, a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. And oh my, yes, how I wanted to look good on the outside. How I lived behind a plastic face to the outside world and what others wanted and tried to be what others wanted me to be. Oh, I was just like that, you know, if you wanted me, I could be a chameleon depending on who I was with and what the circumstances were. But I wore my truth. I mean, you could see who I was. You could see that I obviously was not functioning well in the world, as I was running late, as I was irresponsible at times about following through on things, even though I had all the best intentions and so on. You know, my truth, along with my insecure feelings and stuffing those down with food, that was my truth. That's what I used to really do. And instead, you know, oh boy, I was always focused. Well, actually, I still was always focused on what others thought of me, pretending to be what you would have me be to get approval, because it was all about me and I wanted you to think that I was wonderful. But in the inside, I knew I was just so broken, so messed up inside. So what changed? Well, getting to my bottom and realizing I couldn't continue to do life that way. And so today, you know, I strive to be a much more authentic person, aim to focus on, you know, trying to be what my higher power would have me be, you know, admitting my faults and being open and honest. Seeing my shortcomings for what they are, striving to let go of impressing others, and being able to immerse myself in my recovery work with the steps. And I'm able to accept my imperfect self, which allows me to accept imperfect others and be able to be more real. And, you know, today I do my best to align my outsides with my insides. And when I slip back into self, you know, I have my nightly inventory to refocus. And I give it away to my sponsor to be able to, and she's great at spotting my delusional thinking. And first and foremost, I have my connection with my higher power that helps me redirect my thinking. And, you know, be able to just get back to what God would have me be in this moment. And what a gift. Thanks for letting me share, and I'll pause.
Oh, you're wrapping up. Thank you. Thanks, Penny LC. Leah S., you're next, and then Sherry KB before we wrap up. Oh, wrap up. Goodness sakes. Before we add more to our list for sharing. Hi, Leah.
Hi, Melanie. Thank you very much. Good morning, everyone. And, my name is Leah S., a very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from Brooklyn, New York. I love, actually, which part don't I love out of this whole big book? And you know what? Every time I read it again and again, something new pops up. Oh, my God, why didn't I see this before? Wow, wow. So in doing your fourth step, it doesn't pay to be dishonest. It doesn't pay to hide things. Because you are you, Leah, and Leah is going to go out there and is going to be inclined to face another situation that precisely the one that you're trying to hide, and it's not going to work. It's not going to work because, Leah, you know what your tendencies are. You're going to reach for the food. You're going to reach. That was always the solution. That was always the solution. And when it wasn't, I got stuffed up more. And I pushed it down my throat more. And it didn't do it. And I pushed it down my throat more. And it just didn't do it until I reached oblivion. So this disease is deadly, and Leia had to be humbled. Leia really had to believe that whatever I'm going to do, whatever I'm going to reveal, God, you've got my hand. You're right there with me, and you're coming in with me, and it's okay. It's all right. I don't know if it's all right, but I know and I feel that power, because otherwise I wouldn't have been able to do it. And so I did it, and there's such relief. And then, again, life goes on. Life goes on. And this through this program, through this miraculous program, I'm in college, and my kids are saying, Ma, you're reaching 61 years old. What are you doing in college? You're making a fool of yourself. And that's negativity. And that then right away, tapping into my higher power and saying, dear God, my whole life I wanted a college degree, a bachelor, something, and I'm trudging on. And today, when I took my finals this past week, my kids were rooting for me. I couldn't believe it. My God, this program is so miraculous, and it'll take me each day of my life. And I thank you, dear God, for being there with me, and especially all you fellows. And I pass.
Thank you very much, Leah S. And Sherry KB, you're going to come up, but I wanted to say that we are in the Big Book, Chapter 6, Into Action is the chapter name. We are reading on page 73, commenting on paragraph 1 and paragraph 2. If you want to get ready, because I'm going to open up the lines again for more to share. Thanks, Sherry. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Melanie. Good morning, everybody. It's Sherry KB in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. Thank you so much for your service, Melanie, and everybody on the line, and welcome newcomers. And you know, these paragraphs are great because, you know, I was listening to everybody and I was listening to the earlier meeting, and, you know, the word spree comes out, you know, jumps out at me in the second paragraph. And, what are some of the sprees in the past, the eating sprees that I did? You know, I'd be afraid. I'd be in my car and somebody would see me, you know, be afraid of that eating or binging or whatever I was doing. And today, you know, and I remember doing an inventory, and one of the things that came up for me is that my behavior in the car when I was driving, and, you know, that I would just, somebody always said, you know, if you really want to know where you're at emotionally and spiritually, you know, watch how you drive. And, you know, because of doing that, and one of the amends I made was behaving myself on the road. I mean, I wasn't a road rager, but, you know, I did my share of things, you know, without getting in trouble or whatever. But I know that I can always tell where I'm at emotionally when I'm driving, what's going on with that and with me. I also think about, I heard many years ago, you know, are you walking the walk or talking the talk? And so for me, you know, working this program means living it daily, living in 10, 11, and 12. And, of course, step 10 is steps, you know, 4 through 9. So we're talking about step 5 here. So to me, it's just that also how I practice the principles in all my affairs. And when I can't practice the principles in all my affairs, I limit my affairs. And I especially have to look at how I act at home. Because now I can look at, you know, instead of the food sprees, I look now at emotional sprees, because I've realized that since I've been doing this work that I can just be face down my emotions the way I was face down in the food. So I do a 10, 11, and 12. I definitely, I'm in 12 a lot. I do take a lot of people through the Big Book. I live in 10, 11 daily with doing 10 steps when I'm disturbed. I'm on an 11-step train. I'm actually on 2. And, you know, that helps me so much because it helps me stay in line. And, you know, love, patience, and tolerance is our code, and it reminds me that not only goes for the people in my life, but it goes to myself as well. And, you know, my loved one has got a mood disorder, and it's really hard to live with. And I keep asking myself, you know, how am I practicing the principles in all my affairs? And, you know, having love, love, patience, and tolerance is my code, and that goes for my also for myself. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Sherry KB. The lines are now open for at least 4 or 5 people to share this morning to continue on before we close.
Courtney B.
Greg B.
Jordan L.
Kathy G.
Kathy G. I gotcha.
Julian.
And I heard Courtney. And I heard
Deborah P.
And I can do one more.
Deborah P.
I'm going to go with Joanne W. I heard several in there, to be honest, but I pulled that one out of the hat. So I have Courtney, Kathy, Pete. Did I get Greg, too? Is that what I heard?
Yes, and Greg. Joanne. Thank you.
Perfect. Thank you. So I have Courtney, Kathy, Greg, Pete, and Joanne. Good morning, Courtney.
Hi. Can you hear me?
I can.
Courtney B., Silicon Valley. I love this step so much. It changed my life. It was me willing to take the risk of having someone come in with me into my shack, into my heart, into my damaged, broken heart, and having some, and not, and just say, here, this is my holy ground, and it's pretty ugly. I don't know what to do, so I performed, and I won awards, and any kind of kindness was shown to me. I couldn't take it in because I didn't believe it. They didn't know the secrets in my shack. And this was the risk of saying, okay, I'm going to unzip my heart and soul and say, come on in. And what I found was, you know, God was in there already going, finally, you're showing up. We're here. I can work with this. I had rooms in there, fear. And then there was one of creativity. I opened the door of creativity, and there were musical instruments I hadn't played in years, with webs and cobwebs, and, oh, let's open up some windows. Let's clear it out. Let's clear it out. The healing, oh, God, I want to cry, is so profound. What I realized was God knew about that all along, never embarrassed, never ashamed, and my sponsor, whom I asked in, come on into my shack, no more lies, no more pretending. This is the state of my being. And she looked at me with those eyes of full acceptance. I was so afraid I'd see shame. None of it was there. This process, I promise, healing from shame into wholeness and self-acceptance, to be comfortable in my own skin. And then it got kind of fun, and we could joke about, oh, my God, look at this. Well, you know, what are you going to do? So it's the deconstruction of that wounded brokenness. That's why, to me, critical we do this. The house cleaning, and then rebuild again into a new life. Take courage. This is a good, good step. Thanks.
Thank you, Courtney B. Kathy G., you're next, and then Craig will come behind you.
Thanks, Melanie. Good morning, everyone. Grateful to be here today. It's Kathy G., recovered compulsive overeater in Illinois. And I just have to say a big amen to what's already been said. It's just been a great morning listening in, and it just makes me think we're into action. I feel like that's really what's happened to me, working these steps the way that I have since I got into Vision last spring. And I feel like it has been this awakening. Even this morning, I just felt like I was waking up. I'm waking up to new levels of myself that have been hidden. And it's incredible to experience this. It's like I can feel all these different feelings that I used to numb out passing through. And I'm now getting into action instead of just sitting in feelings, because I'm realizing that when I take the action, the feeling can change and it can move me forward. And I'm just harnessing my thoughts and saying, okay, what are you thinking right now? You know, are my thoughts building me up? Are they bringing me life? Are they bringing others life? Or are they bringing me down? So it's kind of like into action, out of imposter, and into the potential of the fullness that God has for me without hiding behind maybe some scary feelings, some scary dreams, some scary fears, and now having tools to handle these things. And I'm 57 years old, and I feel in some ways like today, like I'm 10, and I'm kind of excited, like, ooh, am I going to have a play date today? Am I going to go, you know, to a different playground, but it's a little scary and it's fun? And it's all good because I have people that I can call if I start to feel too uncomfortable. I can do a little step 11 work. I can call a newcomer and, wow, I could cry too. You know, the last person who spoke to said I could really cry. I really could. And I just really want to say to the newcomers, just dare to feel the feelings and do the work just for today and reach out and call one of us. But thanks so much for listening. Love you. I pass.
Thank you so much, Kathy G. Greg B., you're next, and then Pete will come after you. Greg B., star one, just in case. You're still here?
Yeah, it's Greg. Sorry. It's Greg. Right, can you hear me?
I can. Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. Sorry. I got muted somehow. Anyway, I'm Greg B., recovered, pulled over on the side of the road safely. Yes, grateful to be here. I thought we were reading page 63 when I first heard people talking because, you know, the drama that I created and the perceived drama I created in my life, and I was just like all about the drama and creating havoc and just, you know, playing this dramatic part in life. And, you know, and reading the big words and everything in here, it's I'm okay. You're okay. We are okay with our flaws, everything else. God's like, you know, my higher power's like, you're all right. You're okay. You're okay. There actually is nothing broken or wrong with you. We're just human beings. All that stuff I did, and I just used it as a whip to, you know, one of my sponsors who I love, you know, said, put the stick down. Put the stick down. It's an inventory. You know, people don't go to the store and go, well, you know, these are broken cans of beans. What's wrong with you cans of beans? I'm going to smash you even more, you terrible cans of beans. It's just a thing. You know, it's just a thing. So I got to make it ain't no thing with me. You know, it's just an inventory. Yeah, they're giving you feedback. They're not confronting you. You did some stuff, and this is some stuff that you do, Greg. Wife saying, you know, gee, you're acting like a three-year-old. No, I'm not. Well, she's just giving you feedback, dude. She ain't, you know, confronting you like a bear in a cave. But that's my ego and myself and all that. But there's nothing wrong with that. We're just human. So being okay in my own skin, being okay with who I am, being like my friend said, being, you know, I got a friend in me, you know, I mean, being okay with who I am is what this program's about. That's a huge change because, man, I'm people pleaser to the nth degree. I'll do things for people that I would never do for myself. And now I do things for myself that I used to never do for myself. In a selfless way, really. It's like, yeah, if you love yourself and you're taking care of this stuff, it's amazing how this I don't do this other stuff and how other people don't bother me so much. If I'm working these steps, applying them and repeating them, and, you know, life is good today because of that. So, Greg B., I'll pass. Thank you so much, Mel, for your leadership, and I will give the time back to others. Thanks.
Thank you, Greg B. Pete B., you're next, and then Joanne W. will come after you. Good morning, Pete. I want to give you a chance to do a star one if you're still here.
Hi, it's Richard B., if that's what you heard, maybe.
I think I heard Pete, but if I didn't, and it was you, in fact, would you speak up and I didn't hear you?
Thanks.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay,
Richard
thanks very much.
B., nice to meet Rich. You.
It's great to get through. I have been on Skype with the call, and it's so hard because the call is a little bit behind, and it's hard to get heard sometimes. So I'm really grateful to have the meeting, and I relate to so much what has been said today. Gosh, me and being the actor, it's just for years of, like, I've been in program 6 years, and for me, I was the actor for about 5.5 of those years. And at times, I still want to be the actor. I was always concerned about what people would think of me in program, so I would put on a different view of what I wanted people to see in program. And it's all ego-driven. And I had a huge spiritual awakening at a retreat here in Ireland in March. And that was where I was introduced to A Vision for You, and I'm really grateful for that. Because beforehand, I wouldn't listen to what was in the big book, and I wouldn't want to pay any attention to what was in the big book. Because Richard couldn't understand what was in the big book, so Richard wasn't going to ask anybody to help him. And I'm so grateful that somebody took us through the big book, and that I now have this wonderful program, that, and a wonderful serenity that I'm having every day. Now, I have life problems, just like anybody has life problems. And today I've had a lot of life problems, but I'm trying to work the program to get through them today, rather than just huff and puff and blame it on everybody else. I take an inventory. I have the sheets in front of me, and I'm ready to talk to my sponsor later. I'm here today saying that I have tried to be the actor for so long, and I really want to make amends for being the actor to people. I'm trying the best I can for now, and I'm being willing, open, and honest for today. And I'm really grateful for my abstinence and for the steps. And I am halfway through step 12 now, since the end of March, starting step 1. So I'm working the program as I was told by my sponsor and by what the book says. So I will leave it at that. I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Richard B. Joanne W., you'll be the last share for today.
Hi, I'm Melanie.
Hi.
Kind of nervous, so don't share very well. I'm a recovering compulsive overeater. I'm working my first step 4, and that listening to everybody's shares and relating to so many people on the line about who I was and who I am, and even growing up in a house, an alcoholic house that was abusive, and never really knew that I had a problem because everybody else in my life had the same problem. I didn't realize it until I started healing myself and going to LA and other 12-step programs, and seeing the same character flaws and traits that other people had that I had, and when my kids were growing up, having all them traits, but never knowing that there was help out there, and that of being my own friend or trying to sabotage something or always trying to get my own way, but I didn't know how. And just to manipulate people or just not liking myself very much, not liking myself right now either. But exploring the fourth step and seeing all the character traits that on a piece of paper, being able to circle all of them, or who I was, or who I am now, and just so happy to find this group and the group I used to go to. I have a problem with committing to things, and I knew that now. Hard for me to commit, and hard for me to share. Because I'm always worried about if I'm going to say something wrong, or am I going to get it right, or is it going to be understood, or just a lot of that thinking goes along, and that I don't know what else to say, so I'll pass, and thank you for letting me share, and thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much, Joanne W., and thank you to everyone today. That would conclude the recorded portion of this meeting, so we'll get ready to kind of close this portion out. But just if you're new, I just want to let you know that that's not the end of it. Stay with us if you can. We want to greet some newcomers and get some sponsor information and give you some announcements of things that are going on here. So that'll finish out the unrecorded portion of our last 10 minutes of this meeting. So in the meantime, thanks again for those that shared, and we will close this portion with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, and then we'll follow that with a Serenity Prayer. Penny Elsie, would you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Thank you, Melanie. This is Penny Elsie, and this is the reading on page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize that we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Tess.